says that you would be together more and more as you see the day approaching. Right? Don't forsake the assembling of each other, but instead you get together more and more as you see the day approaching. And as we see the return of Christ, we anticipate it, we wait for it, and we get together more and more. Why? Because why not get more used to that, right? Get more used to being with the body of Christ. Like it's somebody said it once, the church is just like practice for heaven. Like being in the presence of God's people, worship, word, fellowship. Like this is what we're preparing for. And then we leave here, we go to our jobs, we go to our families, we go to the things that God has put in our lives, and we have something. We have some reasoning to go with. We have a word in our hearts to answer people. We have a way to think through things, and it's a gift from God. So, and we have Pastor Shabelli here with us, and he's going to preach. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the day we had and everything that we've seen and heard. And we just ask that you would continue to provoke us in faith, continue to move us in your thinking, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn to Hebrews 11. We were speaking about this a few moments ago. And I had another message prepared, but I just lost it. It just left. It just took wings and flew away. The other message, it's gone. This one popped up. Hebrews 11, verse 27. And this has always been one of my favorite verses. Pastor Stephen preached on this one time in Springfield, and it really opened my eyes. By faith, speaking of Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Father, thank you tonight that we can see he who is invisible. And that's how we endure. That's how we hold fast. That's how we keep going. That's how it can be decade after decade after decade after decade, and we keep going. Bless our time tonight. Thank you for this ministry. And we are grateful, God. May we all make those kind of decisions, seeing he who is invisible. In Jesus' name, amen. We had, you can be seated, please. We had one of our great pastors go home to be with the Lord this week in Ghana, Pastor Winfred Morty. And he was 90 years old. And he was quite an amazing man. I remember the first day I met him, he came to my house in Ghana. And he came with he had a small church of 20-something people, 30 people, something like that, maybe more. And he came with his prophetess. There was a church prophetess, and she had all this white stuff all over her face, you know, like white makeup, completely covered. Now, I don't know what that looks like if you see a person with white all over them, an African-American or an African with white. And I'm looking at her going like, I'd like to just get a hose and hose her down, but that wasn't a carnal thought, but then I thought, what is she doing here? You know, and he believed, they believed in prophesying, and she was the prophetess for the church. And I thought, how am I going to endure this situation? This is unbelievable, you know, because they really, really came with a desire to know God and go to Bible school. And I think he was 58 years old when he came. He had his own church and way up in the mountains in Ghana. Way out there. And he came, went to Bible school. He used to drive, you know, he used to take a vehicle many, many hours and then come to Bible school. And he slept at Mr. Sonko's house, remember? And he was sleeping in somebody's house with no place and had no food money and whatnot. And it just was, this was from 1986 when I met him up until recently. And he's one of the most faithful men you'd ever meet in your life. And he really was something at 90 years old. I had just talked with him a while back, you know. And about 3 years ago, it looked like it was over for him. And then we went to his village and laid hands on him, and he stood up. I was like, I didn't expect that. I didn't even believe my own prayers, you know. Like, it's like, if you forget that way, you're praying, you don't even believe what's going to happen. And it's God's faith, not yours, you know. And he just stood up. And he got up and he said, I'm fine. I'm fine, you know, I'm going on with God, you know. And this is how we endure. The word that's used here, proskaterero, means he was steadfast. And he didn't, I like this, he never flinched. You know what it means to flinch spiritually? Like something happens and you flinch. And you know what, like flinching when somebody goes to hit you in the face, you flinch, you know, or something's happening, you flinch. But it said that Moses never flinched. He endured as seeing he who's invisible. He just held, he held steadfast as seeing he who was invisible. There were two people that came, and they were coming, they wanted to go to Bible school. And one of the pastors brought them to me, and both of them were blind. And I said, like, to myself, are they going to go to Bible school? And the man said to me, they have amazing hearing. Their hearing skills are incredible. And they sat in Bible school for 5 years and got all A's on the tests. And we ordained the man. And they went back to a village. He became a Greater Grace pastor. He couldn't see. But how did he endure? Seeing what? He endured how? Seeing he who was invisible. They saw something that a lot of people couldn't see. And it was incredible. I you know, the Braille and how they had the Bible and how their listening skills were phenomenal. I could preach a message and give like 7 or 10 points on the message, and they could rehearse it all back to me even a year later. And I'm like, who are these people? You know? And they endured. See, Moses went 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and 40 years with Israel in the wilderness. Hello. 120 years, you know. How did that, how can that happen? Aaron goes against you. Your sister goes against you. Korah, your cousin, Korah and company, they go against you with 250 princes. They go against you. Everything, this is crazy. How do I feed these people? How do I lead these people? How do you endure something like that? He endured as what? Seeing. Did you hear that? Seeing. You got that, April? Seeing he who is invisible. This is how we endure. This is how somebody goes to Bible school. This is how somebody stays in a church for decade after decade after decade after decade. They don't endure through their own physical ability to endure. They endure through God. Because they're seeing something. Seeing he who was invisible. For years I worked in prison. I used to ask myself every day, why am I going to this prison again? I hate this place. I don't even like the people in it. But God loves me and God loves them. So I'm going to go. And this went on year after year after year after year. And I would go in there and, you know, in prisons, people abuse you verbally. You know, they would insult Jesus. They would swear about Jesus and, you know, all kinds of stuff like was going on. The atmosphere was horrendous. I don't know if you've ever been into a prison, and this prison had all murderers in it. That means they're in for life, and to kill you means nothing anymore in Massachusetts, right? There's no death penalty, right? Yeah, so killing you, what's the big deal? Nothing happens anymore to their sentence. They're just in jail. And I would think to myself, this is crazy. I can't, I want to quit every single day. Every day I was ready to quit. And every day God was there and said, do you see me? I'm invisible. Seeing he who is invisible. We see correctly. You know, Paul said to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 3:14 and 4:4, Satan wants to blind your what? Your eyes? Your mind. He's a mind blinder. So that people do not see. Their minds are blinded from seeing the glorious gospel. We talk to people all the time in Baltimore and different places, and you'll be talking to them and they just can't. They don't see anything. They can't see anything. Even when you present the person of Christ and the gospel of the finished work and whatnot, and what are they looking at? Well, maybe they're looking at religion. I mean, I was one of the worst people that the Catholic Church ever founded. I mean, really. Really was not at all what you would call a good Catholic. No, I wasn't like Beth. No, she's such a good person. No. And it was like, wow. And then when the gospel was presented to me, I remember what took place by a Father Barnabas. There was a man named Father Barnabas, and he was in the church. And in the early 70s, he said, "It's much more than coming to church, Stephen." He said, "It's having the Holy Spirit living in you." I thought he was nuts. I heard about, you know, confirmation. Did anybody remember confirmation? Does anybody here remember that? You got slapped? Did you get slapped? We got slapped. We had Italian priests. They gave you the Holy Spirit. They hit you across the face. Am I right, Linda? Huh? I don't know. Maybe the modern church doesn't do that anymore. You know, and some of these Italian priests, if they knew who you were, they'd hit you almost with their knuckles, you know? And I thought, you know, couldn't imagine living across the street or very close to the church and having punched a priest. That was not going to go over very well. And all that time, I was blind to the gospel. Blind to the gospel. Maybe my eyes were open to religion. Maybe our eyes are open. By the way, have you ever found that there's certain areas in your life, I know there's areas in my life, where my eyes are closed to those areas? And God wants to do what? Open my eyes. Ephesians 1:18 says the eyes of your understanding would be what? Enlightened. Paul said you need to see the finished work. You need to see Christ. Ephesians 1 is 30, there's 32 positional truths in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. And he says, open your eyes. That's all it is for Christians, really. The main thing is not so much what they're operating in and what they're doing, just to have my eyes opened. I need to see who Jesus is. I need to see the finished work. I need to see what the body of Christ is all about. I need to see who I am in Christ. I need to see what I can do in Christ, what my purpose is. It's just, I have an eye problem. I think I need new ones of these. Have you ever had that happen to you? When you try to read and it doesn't seem... my wife's got a magnifying glass, right? You know that big thing you use? I'm sorry to give away your eyesight problem. But it's like a magnifying glass. And then they get the giant print Bibles. You know what those are? Like these Thompson chains. Even a person with good eyes can hardly see them. What's going on there, you know? And eyes opened. Eyes opened. I want to have my eyes open to the person of Christ. My eyes open to the finished work. My eyes open to the Word of God. My eyes open to prayer. My eyes open to body life. My eyes open to evangelism. But Satan wants to shut everybody's eyes. In certain areas, you can have your eyes wide open in one area and totally shut in another. And God says, I want you to have very clear vision. Remember what he said to the Corinthians? And he even said it himself. Right now, I see through a glass darkly. 1 Corinthians 13:12. I'm not seeing the way I could see. See, that's what the problem in Christianity today is, just a seeing problem. Just not seeing. Why are people insecure and live in fear? They don't see who they are in Christ. Are you with me? They don't see who they are in Christ. I like that. I ran away to Switzerland one time because I was sick of my identity. I was sick of my neighborhood. I was sick of my family. I was sick of my identity. And I went with Ricky Beraldi. Remember him, Linda? I went with Ricky Beraldi to Switzerland. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, I've escaped all these old friends and all this neighborhood and my family who's got a bad reputation. And, you know, it was just like knowing my name. And I'm on the streets of Interlaken in Switzerland. And I'm walking down the street. I'm so free. I feel like, wow, I can become a new person. Of course, this is not with God. This is just unsaved. And all of a sudden I hear, hey, Shabelli, in Interlaken in Switzerland. Mike Nicotuck, a guy I used to work with. I can't go in. I can't run away. Because I was doing everything, but not having my eyes opened. I needed to have my eyes opened. Eyes opened. Wow. Pastor Donald will have his eyes open to marriage. He didn't just get his eyes open. The marriage is today, but your eye open to what? Marriage. Right? Having your eyes open. In a good way. Are you listening? Having your eyes opened. All right? So important. How long have we been married, Linda? 47 years? And then we knew each other for about 8 or 9 years before that, right? So you're talking 56, 55 years with me. I can't stand myself for more than 55 minutes on most given days. But she could handle me for 50-something, what? 55 years or something like that. Can you imagine? Thank you. Give her a round of applause. 55 years. I hear some of these people say, I don't know, I'm in my third year. Things are going well. You're in your third year? Mm-hmm. Get to 13, get to 23, get to 33, get to 43. You know, and I'm not trying to compare with anything, but you know what? My eyes wide open. This is the key to Christianity. This is the key to our lives. Open my eyes so I can see. I think a lot of times I didn't want to read the Bible because I didn't want to see what God was saying. Do you ever have parts of the Bible that you just skipped? Like Hebrews 11? Or anything about, you know, what you ought to do as a husband in your marriage? Something like that, you know, or whatever. A lot of people just skip Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20 and 21, Acts 1, 7 and 8, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10 and 11, Acts 13, Acts 16, and Acts 19 and Acts 27. Those are all the evangelical verses. Well, there's a lot of churches that just don't even go near those things. You can go to a church and never hear it preached. Never hear it preached. I was in a church with, what was that man's name that was your father's friend? Vernon Zumker. I went with my wife to visit her father's old friend. His name was Vernon Zumker. What was the wife's name? Margaret. They took us to a big church. And I sat down there, it's his church, and I wanted to be very nice. I honestly wanted to be nice. You don't believe that, do you? And I got there, and the pastor that was greeting all the new visitors, he said, "What did you think of the service?" I said, "You talked about all these inreaches you do, but you never talked about outreach or evangelism." And he gave me the dirtiest look and went away. You know why? His eyes, even with a large church, have never been, and I don't care how big a church is, if my eyes are not open to missions and evangelism, somebody's blinded my eyes. In the book of Revelation, you know what he said? I think it's about Laodicea. I want to put eye salve and anoint your eyes. That was something that, did you ever get something that burns your eye? The other day, I had some deep tissue oil. You know what that is, deep tissue oil? Huh? How many of you know what that is? Just a few of you. It's really, really hot. It really burns. It's really hot. And for some reason, I had it on my finger, and I put it here so I can breathe. Well, I stuck my finger in my eye. My eye was watering, was burning, and I'm walking around like this. Well, that's what the church in Laodicea needed. They needed to have their eyes anointed with eye salve that it would burn something out of their, what do they call those, cataracts? Got to take away the anti-spiritual cataracts from people's eyes so they could what? They could see. They really could see. And this is important. God wants us to see who he is. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But by the way, it doesn't say our. O-U-R is not in the original language. It just says the author and finisher of faith. Because it's his faith. I want you to see. Do you know what could take place if you just simply trusted in me? Hello? Do you see that? When Adoniram Judson, who was from Malden, Massachusetts, you sent me a little photograph of his gravesite, didn't you? The gravesite's in Plymouth. They're lying. But he was born in Malden, Mass. They got Massachusetts is lying. I'm just having fun. No, he was born in Malden. I don't care what they say on that plaque. Judson was given the possibility of being the pastor of Park Street Baptist Church, one of the largest pulpits in America. And he chose it. He said, I chose over it the armpit of Asia, Rangoon, Burma. He called it the armpit. Weather was so bad, so hot, and everybody just died of disease. They just went down one after another. He lost one wife. He married somebody else, and she died. And then he married another one, and she died. I think I'd have been very careful about getting close to him for marriage. But everybody he married just didn't make it. Okay? And then one child died, another child died, and he got so depressed, Judson, that after his son Roger died, he was pacing the grave out of his mind. He was out of his mind, pacing the grave. And then God showed him something from Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are what? With me. This morning's message. With me. And his eyes were what? Eyes were opened. His eyes were opened. It's amazing when some of the men from Africa, they wrote in 1985, they wrote Dr. Stevens and they said, can you please send somebody to Africa with this grace message? They've been listening to the grace message over Liberian Radio Elwa. It was a one-time broadcast into West Africa from Elwa. Only happened once. And somehow they heard it. And they heard the finished work message in a village, a very remote village in the interior. And a man heard it and brought it to Pastor John and said, we need to contact these people because they have the message of grace. And he contacted us. And one day Dr. Stevens handed me 85 letters. He said, would you answer these letters? I said, I don't write letters. He goes, would you? He says, don't write anybody back. Go see them. With your what? Your feet. And I went to Africa, and my eyes what? Wide open. I stood to preach one time. The first week I was there, and they brought me to a place. They said, we want you to preach here. There's quite a few people here. And I got to the place, and there was 1,000 people in a market. And they put up a big... They hammered together the stage. They did it in about like 7 minutes. You know how good they are. They found wood. I think they chopped somebody's house down and took the boards and built the stage. So we'll put it back later. And they said, preach. And I preached from Luke 4:16-21. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And then that the blind might see. And that's what really struck me. There were people that were there and they were saved, but they didn't see God. They didn't see God, who he really is. And by the way, when Christians don't see God correctly, what they do is they propagate that very message to other people. And then people don't see God correctly. And it just never seems to end. And God wants me to see. He wants me to see. He wants my eyes to be what? Wide open. One of the things that attracted me to my wife was her eyes. Not with your glasses on. She had big eyes. Remember? You still do? I'm still attracted to her eyes. You know, she had big eyes. I saw this girl walking down at Holyoke Community College in the basement. We used to have classes. We had college in the basement. Boy, did it smell down there. And one day she walked by me. And I said, I'm like, oh, who is that? And my eyes were what? Ow. Ow. You know, it got so bad that one of my friends wanted to date her. And he asked her out. I'm not so sure if she went or not, or maybe you didn't go. Jimmy Marsh. Well, he never asked her again because I drove his car in a lake. And I said, I just thought that this was my way of paying you back for taking her out. So your car's in a lake. I got up on the roof and got myself out of the lake. See, I wasn't what you would call a very good, nice person. Your car's in the lake. See, I was seeing a different way. I thought you could correct everything by violence. But I realized that doesn't happen that way. Eyes opened. You know, one of the sad things is sometimes people have great intentions in Christianity. I was talking to two people who were on the mission field for 7 years as children. And then they came back to America and they went to a secular school. And they came away as unbelievers. Their eyes were shut. University teachers and preachers, and I know it's God's will if people go to those places and they have a real strong walk with God, that they can really be a great witness with the light there. But you got to be careful. And what happened is they started to say to me, what's wrong with an alternative lifestyle? What's wrong with smoking dope? What's wrong with drinking alcohol? What's wrong with, like, you know, a multiplicity of boyfriends or girlfriends? Their eyes were closed to the areas that God had opened them to at one time. Very sad. Very sad to watch that happen to pastor missionaries' children. Their eyes. Their eyes. That's why we believe in Christian school or homeschooling. You know, very, very careful about that at all, you know, and whatnot. Because they have a tendency to be able to, not for everybody, but and you do whatever God leads you to do as a parent, but to close spiritually. Oh, don't tell me you believe in Jesus. You're still one of those? You still believe in God? You kidding me? Wow, I met a guy like that. What did I mean? He said, I don't believe that there's a God who would send somebody to heaven or hell. And I said, probably that's why you'll end up in the other place. Because you don't believe, simply believe. We had a good talk. He actually listened for a while. Somebody brought him. He's a first-time visitor. I'm not the best with first-time visitors. I mean, maybe you got to have like somebody with a lot of, you know, like, whatever. I'm just like, no, but it's interesting. But I just prayed. I said, you know what, I'm going to pray that your eyes would be open. He goes, well, I think I would agree to that you could pray that God would open my eyes. It came to that conclusion, which was good, you know. His eyes would be opened. Eyes opened. Are people's eyes open to the importance of marriage, as we saw today, right? To the importance of walking with God? And how about the importance of having kids, if God allows it? And we hear many people make those same statements, by the way. Well, I don't want to bring kids into this world, really.
Noah had kids. How was the world then? Everyone only thought evil continually. That's Genesis 6. Everyone thought evil all the time. And Noah had sons, didn't he? Wonder why.
His eyes were what? Opened. Open my eyes, God. Open my eyes to who you are, to who I am in you, to who I am in the church, to who I am in the eternal purpose of God. I want my eyes to be open. Livingstone was a great geologist and a great, like, political mind, governmental person, and God sent him to Southern Africa to go. By the way, do you know that Livingstone walked 37,000 miles on foot? Saying it. I'm like, 37,000 miles on foot? He said he sometimes used to drag his pregnant wife, but he put her on a donkey. I don't know who the donkey was, him or the donkey she was riding, but that was amazing. Why? He saw Africa. Okay? Remember that statement that he made that I always love? How many of you remember that? On a clear day in the morning sun, I see the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has been. That's a famous statement by Livingstone. He heard Moffat speak it, and he kept it as like a monument in his life. On a clear day in the morning sun, I saw the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary had been. Seeing. We do Zooms with China every week. Last week I did a Zoom with Pakistan. 61 pastors in Pakistan. Pakistan! And they just sent the team to Iraq. They sent the team of 7 people to Iraq.
Like, are you people nuts? They said, no, we're just doing what you're preaching. I thought, I'm the nuts one. Why are you even talking like that? I don't even believe my own messages. Why should I even be involved with missions? They're rebuking me. Yeah, we're going to Iraq. I'm like, but they can do that.
We can't.
But they can.
Or we can. What's one of those signs up there say? I can do. With God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. Don't you forget that. Nothing is impossible with God. And they're going there. And there's a bunch of them. And we just decided to toss them enough money so they could go back and forth as a mission in Baltimore. We just decided we're going to help them to do this. They didn't ask for it either. They're doing it anyway. But I want to get behind it. I would like to be a part of it somehow, some way. And that's incredible. We have right now 101 churches that come out of the Mumbai church that Pastor Carl started. 101 churches from one church. We have 180 churches in India. almost 80 in Nepal. No, 40 in Nepal. What's happened? What happened to these people? They have their what? Eyes open. They have their eyes open to the possibility of missions. A lot of churches have their eyes shut to missions. Thank God your church is not like that. Your eyes are what? Wide open. Participation. I think we Pastor Ronaldo, we have to say, what did I say? 240 people went on the mission field in the last month in Baltimore, or this whole summer. There's 245, but he counted 40 people that are involved with Summer Alive in Baltimore. 245 people went somewhere. Namibia, Cambodia, where else? Anybody else?
Manchester, New Hampshire.
Manchester, we didn't even count that. Come on now. I mean, wow, that's amazing. 245 people from one church going out for summer harvest? Why? Their eyes are what? Open eyes. Well, I don't have any money to go on the mission field. Oh, so when did money ever stop anybody? You must be joking. This can't be about money, can it? How can it be about money? God provides. God provides. I think this week, the last 10 days, I sent like $37,000 overseas. No, $1,000 here, $1,000 here. Definitely. God gave the money. We got 300 orphans. 314 orphans. How? I don't know. There are people giving money all over the place. I don't even know who they are. Somebody sent me a check for $5,000. I don't even know who they are. They just said, I read about this. We love orphans. They're trained in a Christian school and go to Bible school. That's what we want to support. Our eyes are what? Wide open. Wide open eyes. Don't let the devil be your eye doctor. Satan wants to be your eye doctor. And close those babies up and put something on to keep it closed permanently. Wow. Amazing. Eyes wide open. So let's pray. Let's go forward with eyes open. We'll do a wrap now. Any questions you have about missions, about practical aspects of missions, which there's no such thing as practical. It's all spiritual, personal and practical, but maybe about having my eyes opened. And Father, we thank you today. Pray that you would touch our lives and help us to grow. Help us to have our eyes wide open. In Jesus' name, amen.